This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Sean Kenny is the Director of Communications for the Republican Party of Virginia and joins us on the long line from his office. Good afternoon, Sean.
Afternoon, Coy. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. We took the kids to King's Dominion yesterday, and I watched my 2 5-year-olds. I was in awe because they both marched right up to the Scooby-Doo roller coaster, which, you know, when you're five, it's the biggest thing you've ever seen in your life. They both got right on there. And then when they got off, my son turned to me and said, "That was fun." And then they rode it again.
Oh, no.
I couldn't believe it.
My oldest son was absolutely terrified of the Scooby-Doo. I think I've ruined him for roller coasters at this point.
That place has really changed over the years.
It has. I remember when I was a young guy, it was all Hanna-Barbera this. And,
yep.
It's completely, I don't want to say commercialized, because it was commercialized beforehand, but... it's certainly a different place than what it was 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, and there are, to the delight of 13 and 15-year-olds everywhere, there are a lot more big roller coasters than I remember when I was a kid. I mean, everywhere you look, there's some huge metal monster with cars racing on it.
Sure, and the King Cobra, though, has been replaced with the Anaconda, and the Rebel Yell has been replaced with...
No, the Rebel Yell's still there.
Well, yeah, but as far as big thrills at the park.
Right.
You know, I mean, Rebel Yell used to be the roller coaster at King's Dominion, and now it's one among many. It's probably rated with the Grizzly as an attraction.
Yeah. Rebel Yell was the roller coaster on the East Coast in the 70s.
Yep. And now It's sort of old hat.
Yeah. Sean Kenny, Republican Party of Virginia, where should we start? You know, let's start first with the president of the United States has recently been in to help y'all raise some funds.
Yes, he has. The president came down last Friday to do a private fundraiser for the Republican Party of Virginia, raised $630,000 for Republican candidates in the Commonwealth. So we can't feel bad about that. We walked away extremely pleased. And June 2nd, of course, we have our version of the Democrats' Jefferson Day dinner. It's the RPV Commonwealth Gala, and that'll be featuring Senator Fred Thompson, a yet unannounced candidate for president. He's still waiting for the opportune moment to make his announcement. We're all hoping he'll do it in Richmond, of course. But
wouldn't that be something?
That would be something, and that has been rumored, although we're not the ones to confirm it or deny it, but it certainly is one of the larger venues he has to date. So.
Now, is that going to be at the convention center?
It will be at the Greater Richmond Convention Center. It'll be in the evening. If you go to the RPV website, there's already a link there with instructions as to how to go ahead and get tickets and whatnot. It'll be a great event. I think everybody here at RPV, and I think a lot of Republicans across the Commonwealth, are looking forward to hearing Senator Thompson talk and joining each other and checking out what the new RPV has to offer, especially since Chairman Gillespie's tenure has reached into about 6 months at that point. So I think we're all looking forward to it. It's going to be a great event.
And that, of course, is online at rpv.org. RepublicanPartyOfVirginia.org. And you can find all the information there. And this is in June, right?
Yes, sir.
June 2nd. Oh, so it's soon. It's right around the corner.
About 2 weeks.
Now, tell us, Sean, what is the appeal? What has Republicans so excited about the possibility that Fred Thompson will announce? Is it just a fresh face? Are people already tired of the McCains and the Giulianis? Or they just feel like they don't have traction with these other players?
Well, sort of switching hat and understanding that this is in no way an implied endorsement of any of the candidates involved. I was reading one analysis online just this morning, as a matter of fact. It was sort of talking about how Fred Thompson has a couple things working for him. One, he has sort of the Hollywood appeal and that sort of connection with Ronald Reagan, and it's sort of a genuine approach to people. Secondly, he hasn't announced yet, so sort of the same dynamic that was working for Barack Obama on the left for so many months is working in Fred Thompson's favor this time around. And third, and as a segue into that, you get the feeling almost, according to this article, that people are somewhat tired going 18 months before the presidential election, and we're already being told to focus on 2008 presidential campaigns. Fred Thompson's a little bit of a fresh face, whereas all the other candidates that have announced are sort of old hat. So maybe all of those things are contributing to sort of the mystique around Fred Thompson. Maybe they aren't. Maybe I'm completely off my rocker, and maybe this gentleman's completely off his rocker. But I think those are some of the things that might be driving it. I tend to agree with some some of the things that were written in that article. Of course, Thompson's, you know, I think in the polls that I've seen, he gets double digits, but not quite the same enthusiasm you would see for Romney, Giuliani, or McCain. But on the other hand, all three of those candidates have announced already. Fred Thompson has yet to do so. So,
yeah.
At the moment he announces, we could see double digits. He could be neck and neck with the front three. He could pull ahead. We don't know quite yet. But at the moment, I think there's a lot of Republicans that are very excited about the prospect of a Thompson candidacy.
Well, a few questions here. What are Thompson's politics? Where is he on the spectrum of the big tent of the Republican Party?
Well, without campaigning for Fred Thompson, because it's certainly not my place.
And I'm certainly not asking you to do so. But you can educate us.
I think most people would be able to identify him as decidedly right of the three candidates that have proffered themselves so far, at least the three front runners anyway. And I think you'll find that there are a lot of conservatives still looking for a candidate, especially in Virginia, especially after George Allen, his prospects dimmed in 2006. So, Thompson's candidacy will remain front page news for as long as he entertains the idea of running.
And if, no pun intended, but if Coy has helped him and sort of being quiet has helped his chances, he would probably be behooved to continue to be a little mum, perhaps for the first part of the summer, maybe well into the fall.
That's entirely his decision, and he may continue to pursue that strategy if that indeed is a strategy. He certainly hasn't announced. He certainly never personally said that he's interested in campaigning at this point. Although he's making all the right moves in that direction, time will tell. It remains to be seen.
Yeah, Sean Kenny with the Republican Party of Virginia is with us, and if you've got a comment or a question about Republican politics or politics in general, the phone number is 977-1070. So Fred Thompson is the headliner at the RPV Gala here in Virginia, in Richmond, on June 2nd, and the public is invited.
Absolutely.
This isn't a private thing.
I'm sorry?
It's not a private thing. You can buy a ticket and go if you want to see Fred Thompson.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good. Good to know. Hey, Sean, I got to ask you this, because you are a former big-time blogger in Virginia, one of the most successful and well-read political bloggers in the Commonwealth before you joined the Republican Party administration. What's going on with the Virginia blogosphere? Because I know you still stay in touch with a lot of folks, and still every day I'm sure you read your favorite blogs.
Sure. Well, I know that right now both sides, Democratic and Republican, are both embroiled in their primary fights, whether it's just right next door to Charlottesville, the Emmett Hanger Scott Sayer race in the 24th, or the recently concluded race in the 28th district, Chichester's old seat, which Richard Stewart won by a 300-vote margin. That seems to be the current focus. But what I found interesting with some of the blogs, some of the more prominent ones, notably Jim Heft over at BearingDrift.com, starting to point out, is that we've already started to get into sort of what has already been termed as unethical blogging, where there's one graphic in particular, a PDF that was circulated. It was completely unattributed, but professionally done, that cited a specific candidate, a charge against them was assault and battery. They never flipped it over the other side. This gentleman poked a lady in the arm saying hi or something to that effect, and she turned around, slapped him with a lawsuit, and it was frivolous and never showed up in court, but the candidate never had the record expunged. There was no name attached to the charge as PDF. It was emailed. It was posted on blogs. Whether it had an effect, we don't know. But this is the sort of thing that journalists, and I was speaking with one journalist in the 28th District specifically about this, is where journalists would never touch a story like this. Why? Because their reputation as both as an individual and as the media outlet, are both at risk. There's an editorial process. Journalists tend to have a more professional background, whereas any old blogger with any old pseudonym can go ahead and post whatever they wish. So Jim Heff sort of brought a little bit of this to light, some of the acidity, the acrimony that's been perpetrated over the blogosphere over, I'd say, the last 6 months, and sort of as a prelude to the Blogs United conference in July, was asking the question, is this healthy for the blogosphere? Is this something that's good and worthwhile? And I think I would agree with Jim Heft that, no, it's not healthy for the blogosphere. I think it denigrates, really, the value of blogs, and we have one or two unethical bloggers that are willing to post this sort of information and circulate it, it does the medium damage. It really attacks the entire idea that that individual bloggers can be responsible and held to certain ethics and standards. It suggests exactly the opposite, where folks like Mike Scheer and Jeff Shapiro of the Washington Post and Richmond Times-Dispatch, respectively, would argue that blogs are sort of the Wild West, that there is no standard, there is no ethic, and therefore journalists and traditional media really still are the gold standard of information gathering where people should turn to for their news.
Sean Kenny of the Republican Party of Virginia is my guest. One of the challenges, of course, is even if you could get bloggers together in one room and get them to agree to a code of ethics, which I don't think they have done here in Virginia. Some have, I think, but there are so many coming online thousands coming online every day that are new to the scene. They want to get a name for themselves. They want to build up a readership. So they are perhaps more willing to be out there on the edge.
Sure. And obviously there's two ways to going about making a reputation for yourself online. You either do it the traditional way, as you would in any public environment, where you could sort of do it over time, build up your street credibility, do quality stuff, or you shortcut it and you do something really fantastical and outrageous and attention-grabbing, to which point everybody, kind of all eyes are drawn towards the neat, shiny object in the corner of the room. Both of those are endemic to human nature. I know that at previous blog conferences, I was a huge proponent of self-policing, where if we find one blog that does something unethical or out of line, that Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, what have you, pretty much dogpiled on that one specific individual and said, you did the wrong thing. Unfortunately, the volume question is absolutely right, because now you have so many that it's almost difficult, if not impossible, for the sort of the long poles of the big tent of the blogosphere to really continue to pay attention to each and every single blog that puts out spurious information. So, are we coming to the point now where a blog code of ethics, voluntary or involuntary, is becoming somewhat necessary? I don't have a good answer for that. I really don't have a good answer for that. But I do know that the proliferation of bloggers that are willing to be pseudonymous or anonymous hacks are growing. And if the ones that are really responsible, the blogs that are really concerned about the medium per se first and what they have to say a very close second, don't take charge, that we're going to find ourselves very closely regulated, if not voluntarily or through some sort of imposed code, then through law, because some of the things that are out there are truly libelous and just have absolutely no place in civic discourse.
We're talking with Sean Kenny of the Republican Party of Virginia, online at rpv.org. Sean, we were talking in the last hour with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, and he was commenting how traditionally here in Central Virginia, Charlottesville, Albemarle, local political races have been very friendly. And, you know, as Bob said, you know, in Central Virginia, you take the low road at your peril, because voters tend to really have no patience for nasty campaigns and they will punish you at the polls. I wish I could say that was true all across Virginia. And just your thoughts on this, because you go into some communities, local races in Virginia are pretty nasty.
Oh, and if you go to Northern Virginia, Hampton Roads, even my hometown in near Fredericksburg, the Freelance Star, which is the local paper there, does not like negative campaigning or nasty campaigning, to be more accurate, at all. But local candidates have no problems drawing contrasts between themselves and their opposition. And there's sort of a twofold argument here. One, I'm a staunch proponent. I don't think there's any problem between positive and negative campaigning. There's going to be reasons to vote for and against every candidate that you see out in the field. The difference is, and this is where Bob Gibson is probably correct, is when it drifts from factual to unfactual campaigning, when it drifts from sort of a fact-finding session between candidates as reasons why not to vote for or vote for a candidate, as opposed to some nasty campaigning where the charges just aren't factual, it's conjecture, it's hyperbole, and it just extends the course. It's just bad overall. It's just an extension of truth and by no means factual campaigning that really contributes to political discourse. Now, most political scientists are going to tell you negative campaigning works. That's an unfortunate fact of American politics.
And it works why?
And it works. Why? Because it's attention grabbing. Because it draws a contrast, because it sets apart candidate A from candidate B and says that candidate A is bad and candidate B is your alternative. And that's it. Now, some of these things can be factual, but when it's unfactual or hyperbole, and when we get to negative campaigning, it does have a tendency to drift into hyperbole. That's where it gets detrimental for political discourse, and that's where we have to be really, really, really careful. And in the end, it just takes a sensitive political climate, and maybe Charlottesville is a bit more attuned towards getting to know their candidates, getting to know the issues in depth, than some other localities where the time really isn't available. But but this is a phenomenon we're facing, not just in Charlottesville, not just in Central Virginia, but across the Commonwealth. I think the whole body politic is having that conversation as to what type of information is valid, what's invalid, what will I be fed from a campaign, what am I going to read in the traditional press or even in blogs about what is true, what is factual, what is not, what is just paid media advertising, what's just political hacks telling me what to believe. I think what you see in Charlottesville area or the Central Virginia area is a little bit of both sort of the traditional Virginia body politic, the Virginia way that we keep talking about, and a little bit of sensitivity coming on top, sort of a modern sensitivity to information where we just get so much of it that we really begin to appreciate people that tell us what they're for rather than what they're against.
Sean Kenny is the Director of Communications with the Republican Party of Virginia. Sean, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Corey. Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show can be heard every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WINA. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at SevillePodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, why not check out our site for hours and hours of archives of Coy's show? You'll also find other radio programs, arts features, public affairs coverage, and more.